This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different things in the Umpqua Valley. Roseburg Schools recently announced about $4.5 million in budget reductions, some layoffs in the mix as well. Superintendent Jared Corden in to talk about it. Thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon.
So I guess, first of all, when you look at the whole idea of education, which you've been in the field for a long time, and supporting youth and the community, kind of start there.
Right. I would just say this. We have such a great group of young people we're working with. if our listeners haven't had a chance to get to see the youth and actually see what they're doing in the classroom and outside the classroom, so excited about this group of young people. The future in many ways of our entire community hinges on making sure these students have the skills they need to be successful in the future. But they're doing fantastic. And sometimes these narratives around Oregon schools not performing, I can tell you in our schools, our students can compete with anybody across the country by many metrics. They're doing really well. And so we talk about reductions. It's a complicated, difficult component. We don't want to see less support for students. I think we've been able to do our reductions in a way where we've got to make sure our revenue is matching our expenditures. But I would just say to start how important education is for the uplift of our community. And gosh, we've got some amazing kids in our schools and great staff working with them.
So as you and the board began to look at the numbers a few months ago for the upcoming fiscal year, talk about the process that led to making the decision for the reductions.
Yeah, I mean, I look at budget every day. And I think it's important for listeners to realize we have the way funding, at least state school funding, works, it works on a biennial basis with funding. But although we look at that, and I look at that often, we are thinking about not just next year, but the next 5 years, the next 10 years, the next 50 years. And so as we take a look at what our strategic plan talks about, the measures we're hoping for, our initiatives academically, making sure kids are taken care of, that's something we look at a lot. But what we've seen is a lot like, you know, businesses anywhere. People sometimes forget that education, it's a moral imperative. It's super, super important, all those things. It's also a business. From my perspective as a superintendent, we're running, I think, the fourth largest organization in the county. And we look at things, I look at things all the time around cost increasing, where revenue's at. And so we've made reductions each year or additions each year to match our revenue. And this year, with increasing costs, and that's everything from food costs, transportation costs, insurance costs, declining enrollment costs, we have needed to make reductions, which we've done in the past, but what's unique about this year is it did lead to what we call reduction in force. So over the last several years, we've made reductions, but those have been mostly kind of swallowed up, if you will, in retirements, resignation, those kind of things. So this is a little bit different this year, where we did have a reduction in force this year. And that's partly because we have people, our employees, who are working longer than maybe even they expected. So, but reductions happen as we take a look at the overall health of the organization, our overall budget, our revenue streams, and also just some of the costs that are continuing to be a factor for us as aging facilities, even depreciation as we think out, and the things we need to be saving for long term.
Now, you've got your board very involved in this. Talk about sort of their piece of going through this.
Yeah, the board's highly involved. Their governance role is really the process of adopting a budget. We have a budget committee that recommends a budget, finance subcommittee. So the board is highly involved, and I talk about budget often with the board, both in our public meetings, for example. Budget's a key component. Budget's what lets you accelerate your work. But what is interesting about our business is we can't legally adopt a budget that isn't balanced. So one of our responsibilities is to adopt a balanced budget. And so we can't really operate in the red. And so you have to be fiscally prudent so that you're not having a kind of a fiscal cliff. We see some school districts on this fiscal cliff right now where there's massive layoffs. We've been able to avoid that just with some budgeting that's pragmatic, thoughtful, and forward-thinking. So the board's highly involved in these decisions. And again, no one takes any satisfaction in when we talk about things like layoffs or reductions in force. But we have to make sure that we're calculating all the time where our revenue's at, where our expenses are at, and making the best business decision, not just for next year, but long term.
So you had about 19 people be laid off. You've got different roles, teachers, assistants, office staff, other things. How do you decide what positions to trim?
Yeah, so we get very granular in terms of things like on the licensed staff. And it's important to realize there are, when you trigger like what's called a reduction in force, we have a collective bargaining agreement. So there are ways to do this that we agree on how we're going to do this. But we get granular in terms of what are the class sizes, what are those thresholds. When you have fewer students, if you have fewer students, it's a little different approach than if you have just less revenue, if that makes sense. So if you had just less revenue or more expenses that came up, you might adjust it differently. The major delta in this year's budget is a reduction in students, fewer students. And so we take a look at how do we make sure we can keep those class sizes, the learning targets where we want, the kind of learning, the experience for kids we want, and the support we need. And that's how we've moved through the budget process. So very student focused.
So talk about the impact then on class sizes.
Actually, we really won't see a huge increase in class sizes for next year. The class size thresholds are still going to be kind of where they were. Reductions are going to happen in part because we'll need fewer staff working with kids. And it's really important, I think, for listeners to realize we actually employ more staff and more licensed educators per student today than we did a decade ago, even though we have about 700 fewer students.
And why do you think enrollment is down that much?
Oh, that's a really deep question. if we think about the broad view of this, there is what some people call the demographic winter. And so if you think about, there's been really a significant global plunge in fertility rates. So they talked about this 2.1% replacement. It sounds a little bit interesting, but what we need to keep kind of population where it's at, 90% of countries have seen a decline in enrollment. Not counties, countries. The U.S. Fertility rate is about 1.67. Here's the reality, what we see, and it's applicable here in our county. There are fewer kids per family. And Oregon, I think, for one of the first times ever last year, announced it has more 65 and overs than 18 and youngers. And so we've seen a shift in our own state. We've seen a shift in the country. There are fewer children being born. And part of what we see in industry, and that's education as well, is kind of this impact. And I think there's reasons for that. It can be obviously, you know, the just global economics. It could be housing prices. But overall, there are fewer kids being born. That's why we're seeing enrollment. I think the broad landscape of that is there are fewer kids.
Now, explain when you have fewer kids how the whole state formula works per pupil.
Oh, boy. I need to get someone from the Oregon Department of Education to really fully explain that. But what we do see there is, I mean, there are adjustments at the state level. There's been adjustments at the federal level on that. This is it's kind of a hot political topic in Salem right now of when there are fewer students, what happens with the per pupil allocation. But we've seen a slight uptick in that number in terms of the per pupil allocation because there have been fewer students, but we've also seen other complications with price increase.
And so it gets pretty complicated. The reality, though, is when enrollment goes down, so does your income from the state.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And there's kind of two major funding formulas. One is the state school fund, and it's just directly related. Let's think of it like a revenue stream. It's hard to kind of, from a budget standpoint, it's a revenue stream, so fewer students is less revenue. And then there's the grant side of things. So there's grants that we seek. We're thinking about grants. There's federal grants, other grants that are out there, other state grants. Those are oftentimes not impacted as much by enrollment, but also play into our budget.
All right, we're going to have more with Superintendent Jared Corden when we come back to interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. We're going to talk about fire season with Rachel Pope of the Douglas Forest Protective Association on Mondays inside Douglas County. Superintendent Jared Corden in here with us now talking about budget reductions in the district. So with the cuts, how many staff, and I know there's a kind of a term, full-time equivalent, how many staff do you have in the district?
We have, even with these reductions, we have about 700 staff members serving over 5,000 students.
So that's still a pretty big number. What have you seen in other districts? You mentioned some really getting hit even harder.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know because I'm not in the room there. I do talk to superintendents across the state, but we've been fortunate to not have to have the kind of drastic reductions that just have really huge impacts in terms of, like, the culture of a community. We haven't had the, you know, some of these districts that are making, district north of us, I think, announced, a couple weeks ago, over 200 reductions, for example. We've been fortunate not to have that happen. I don't know always why that happens. It's a bit perplexing. But I think if you're not keeping an eye on everything from your ending fund balance to where your revenue is coming in to thinking about long-term savings and how to, you know, we're tied to global markets with our PERS costs, for example. So you have to really keep an eye on it. If you don't, and then I think that's where you can get into some issues. I know I can't speak specifically, but I can say there have been a number of significant layoffs across the state, probably to do with enrollment, but it could be other factors as well.
And one of the things as well, because you've got the per pupil money, but you've got grants, you've got things that come from the federal level. And this gets a little complicated because some of those, especially federal grants, I imagine, are dedicated to certain purposes. So you can't, you know, trim off a section of that and put it somewhere else. It's got to go with what it was meant for.
That is so true. It's probably something that I appreciate you highlighting that because it is complicated. When we take a look at our overall budget, there are times where you think, well, listen, we could make a reduction here, but that's within a grant, and the application itself says it's an agreement. You're going to do X or Y to get, you know, Z. And so those are complicated to make adjustments on when you see this kind of reduction. So you have to stay kind of in the bucket of the state school fund, and that's where these reductions are coming. So even though you might look and say, well, why did you keep this investment A, when you made a reduction in B, it very well likely could be that investment A was a grant and not part of that state school funding.
And talk about the need for the district to stay in the black. I mean, people are used to different levels of government not being in the black.
Yeah, it's I just say personally, I kind of speak for our board as well. I will say personally as a superintendent, and I think as an individual, I don't do well on the edge dollar-wise. I am a saver myself. I think one of the responsibilities as a superintendent is to set, when I'm in a kindergarten classroom looking at these young kids, a responsibility I hold into our employees and our taxpayers is to make sure we're running a business that's efficient. And so we have to think about things that are out of our control from a budget standpoint. So we have to, I think a minimum for me is I've got to have 3 months of operating expenses in cash. We need to think about how to have money set aside for global shifts in PERS, for example. So I think there's a year-to-year need to stay in black. I mean, we can't work in the red. It's we have to pass a balanced budget. But I think beyond that, it's how we think about what our liabilities could be in terms of, I've mentioned buildings before, in terms of, you know, deferred maintenance or deferred other costs. So we have to work in the black. We have to pass a balanced budget. We can't legally. Nor I don't think morally really operate in a red, but we can't legally, and it's not the way we would operate. So we've got to make sure our revenue and expenditures match each year. It doesn't mean you can't be a little over on another fund, but it has to come out of somewhere. We can't just say we're going to go get a loan on that.
Now, you've talked before about the district, so many of the buildings really getting up there in age and needing a lot of work. How does this whole reduction thing make that even harder to keep up with?
Yeah, it's really an issue we have to continue to talk about as a community. When we take a look at the age of our building and the money that we're putting into buildings, you just don't see always a return like we hope to see in that. So we do have, I mean, there are continued, we've got a great group of community members that have been meeting to really figure out, like, what is the plan that they're going to make a recommendation to me, and I'll make a recommendation to the board. Like, what is our plan moving forward? But I will say, uncategorically, we spend money that should be in a classroom on deferred maintenance, on things. And I'm not talking about, of course, you always have things you need to do in buildings, but when you're, you know, if you take a look at the facilities, like some of the, whether it's heating systems, the boilers, there many things are well beyond their functional life, and that's just, we have to keep it going. And so those are things we need to pay for within our state school fund to make sure buildings are up and moving.
And all it takes is a couple of those building heating systems to go out at the same time to really create a crunch.
Yeah, we've actually seen, you know, a couple places south of us, some, you know, actually structural failures, where that's a significant issue, significant cost issue, and it can be a safety issue as well. So those are things, as we think about the budget, not necessarily day-to-day, but long-term, that we have to keep our eye on.
So for different programs or particular places where this may apply more, are you going to be having folks working more to secure grants for some things?
I mean, we haven't, you know, added staff. Our central office and kind of manager team, it's less than, I think we run one of the lowest percentages of central office folks. We don't have extra people we're hiring to do that. We're pretty scrappy, and we're just going to continue finding ways to make sure we can get the funding we need, because these kids are so worth it. Again, I keep saying, gosh, the young people, we got graduation coming up next week, next weekend. These young people, I'm so impressed with. Our community hopefully gets to see these young people. You'll get to see them as employers and community members. They're fantastic. And so we'll do what we can, everything we can, to make sure these kids have the best future moving forward.
And when you factor that in with the building issue, do you see a need for, you know, a bond levy or something like that up the road?
Yeah, we've talked about this before. We certainly have to figure out the right approach to figure out how we make an investment in our schools. You know, even with things like declining enrollment, conversations have come up around even, you know, do we need to think about a closure of a building to be more efficient? So all those things we're talking about, we continue to look at. Part of our that community group's been super helpful in helping provide some ideas there. And this work the board and I do quite a bit. But yeah, for sure, we look around places around the state, a bond will need to be a discussion. This is not the right time for a bond when you see, you know, gas the way it is. But there will be a time where I think the community will be interested in that discussion.
And what do you look, in the midst of all of this, when you look forward to the next few years in the district, what are some of the goals you'd like to see?
You know, I'm super optimistic. We, you know, I can pick a couple of things. The work we're doing around career pathways, and working with employers in the college and making sure kids You know, continue to do college level work in the high school. Kids are on track to save about $1 million this year in dual credit at the high school. Thinking about our pathways moving forward, super exciting that kids can get right into industry, work in our community. That's really exciting. But we really want a well-rounded student. We want a student also who like loves to learn, wants to be creative, wants to be a thinker and grow in our community. And so continuing to make sure we have great other supports around athletics and activities and sports for kids is also important.
All right. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Schools, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.